Let's hold our hands together and say, Our Father, in the name of Jesus, we receive revelation knowledge that is found in the written word. Today, I am edified and I edify others. I receive utterance, revelation for the edification of brethren. Today, together as a church, we behold Jesus as he sees us in himself. He is glorified, we are edified. Amen. Matthew 28 from verse 18. And Jesus came and spoke to them, saying, All authority has been given to me in heaven and on earth. Say, Go therefore and make disciples of all the nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Say, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you, and lo, I am with you always, even to the ends of the age. Hallelujah. So we are discussing on the topic we started 2 weeks ago. This is the topic, the Holy Ghost meeting. Right? When the Spirit gets to moving. Hallelujah. So quickly, he says, go make disciples. Go make disciples. How will you make disciples? He says, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost. What does that mean? It means to get them saved. Hallelujah. Mm-hmm. Hallelujah. Mm-hmm. Get them saved. They go make disciples. Hallelujah. So how would discipleship go? He said, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I've commanded you. Say, and lo, I'm with you always, even to the end of the age. Lo, I'm with you always. So we said, discipleship is carried out via teaching. And the teaching is to the end that will grow spiritually, right? Right? 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 15, says, For my child, you know the Holy Spirit, which I know able to make me wise. Unto salvation, through faith which is in Christ Jesus, all scriptures given by the inspiration of God, and it's not given for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction. Right? Okay. So, we say, why is there comfortable for doctrines, for reproof, for correction? Say, for instruction in righteousness. That what instruction in righteousness is. It shows that the end point of teaching of the scriptures is for what spiritual growth. Hallelujah. Spiritual growth. Amen. Amen. So, the end point of teaching is for scripture that will grow spiritually. So, this implies that we said last week that the call to discipleship is the call to growing in knowledge. Was that what we said? The call to discipleship is the call to growing in knowledge. Growing in knowledge. Hallelujah. And we looked at Paul to Philemon. In Philemon 1:6. He said, or Philemon 6. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Philemon 6. Once we're having a short dream. Yes, but there's a couple to Philemon 6. A young guy was still standing. I was trying to open. I said, Why are you not playing? He said, He only called Philemon 6, he did not tell us before. Glory to God. Surely you don't know scriptures. Surely you don't know your Bible. Glory to God. So Philemon 6, he says that the communication of thy faith should become effectual. He says by the acknowledgement of every good thing which is revealed in Christ Jesus. So the communication, put up in your Bibles. The Bible is not for fancy, it's open it on your church. Hallelujah. So the communication of your faith should become effectual. I say by the acknowledging of every good thing which is in you in Christ Jesus. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. So Paul will write to Timothy because he wants Timothy to extend his love, or to extend love to someone who has wronged him. Hallelujah. Someone who has wronged him. And now the person is now born again. Hallelujah. And he wants Philemon to show that person love. Interesting, right? Interesting. Hallelujah. They show this person love. And he said the communication of the faith should become effective. I want to say this other word, communication, which is koinonia, is used for what? Let me see who remembers. Is this for what? I know. No. That is
epignosis.
We're talking about communion. We have that story. Our fellowship, right? Our believers' walk.
Is this our believers' walk? So, glory to God. Is this our believers' walk? That's what I wanted you to say. I know it's fellowship.
Glory to God. Amen. So, it implies that our Christian walk, he wanted him to go in to love someone. He tells him that it's the communication. He prays for him that the communication of faith will become effective by the authority of every good thing in the name of Christ Jesus. He then tells him that our Christian walk is to the degree of our knowledge we have about the Lord.
You cannot serve God above the knowledge you have about Him.
You cannot. You cannot. Hallelujah. Your worship of God is to the degree of knowledge you have about Him. That is why knowledge is important. See, I do tell you this. I said, see, your knowledge is important in your worship of God. And if knowledge is important, you must have to mind what you hear from our people. You have to mind. The Bible says, guide your heart with all diligence. Seriously. Guide your heart with all diligence. Guide your heart. Glory to God.
Glory to God. Today you are reading scripture that explains to you. Tomorrow you are out there somewhere and you are allowing other scriptures to be touched. You know, you are allowing other things.
Let me put it like this. You are here. Your pastor is teaching you the word. Tomorrow you are out there. Everything you are listening to all scriptures. Let me not call it all scriptures. You are listening to every sort of thing. Every sort of explanation. How can you be still? There was a young guy I told him. He posted something recently. I overheard. Tell him, bro. You know, I told him, I'd rather have a comedian as a friend. Or WhatsApp.
I'll know that when I throw into his status, I know my heart is prefigured to see something that will make me laugh. Do you understand? I know he's a comedian. Do you understand? Than to have you post what I'm not supposed to even see.
They say, this is my space.
I'm serious. I have to call and say, this is my space.
I'm very sorry, but I have to block it. After the first admonition, second and third, get me, I just block it. It's not a joke. I just want to say, I'd rather have somebody post
Skelim. Yeah?
Or which are the latest dance? Yeah? Just dance it. Let me know. You're a musician. I rather have
if your big brother's house as a friend. I know that he'll be posting all his wonderful songs.
He doesn't have songs.
Then have a believer post all sorts of
funny comments. Hallelujah.
Glory to God. Someone shared something with me one time. He said, you know,
he shared it and I guess I didn't post it.
No, I wouldn't have posted something like that. I don't even post it. But it was funny. And he said, was doing something, he said, it's not good for a man to be alone.
Listen, here's where it's good. Here's where it's dragging us. And you'll be hearing teachings where you are taught, he was not referring to when he said, it's not good for a man to be alone, he was referring to salvation reality. Right? Not Adam and Eve. Right? The salvation reality is not good for a man to be without an azar, which is what helpmate. The helpmate is the Lord, right? So it's not good for a man to be without a savior.
That's what it means. And say, man, the person that was preaching, and say,
if something is not good, that means it's bad and it is a sin. Therefore means that if you are inviting a sinner, people will jump in and run it.
Yes, I said it to some of my bachelor friends. I said, you are not a sinner. I just tagged them. You're a sinner. I did say it though. I think I could have said it. And people who just. That is all this.
You understand? Hallelujah. Jesus. Amen. Same to you.
Amen. Glory to God. It's so funny. So how can you? You know, imagine all the teaching your pastor has taught you. To giving you exegesis.
Instead, he's telling you that, see, you have to understand. I'll make you and help me. He's referring to salvation reality that you're not here, he's a sinner. That's all you preach. And everyone will jump in. You know, that can be deceptive.
Yeah, your pastor taught you and you are just writing. I see some people that are shouting, oh, pastor, choke me, what?
And you are here. You are just writing.
No. Hallelujah.
Truth. Amen. You can't worship God at all.
Now, that kind of person, you hear something like that, your worship of God will change. Oh God, send me my helpmate. Woo-hoo. Glory to God. Amen. So you see, your knowledge of God will determine your worship of Him. Yeah, how you worship Him. This is why teaching meeting is very important.
When you have, believers must cherish believers meeting. Teaching meeting is important. Teaching meeting is important. If I didn't have that important, it is. Amen. It's important.
So it is the primary meeting of believers. And we saw other meetings, right? Other believers may say we saw the prayer meeting, right? We said the teaching meeting is a classroom meeting of the believers, right? Where you are taught. I thought we should have the prayer meeting. The prayer meeting is more like a practical class from the teaching meeting. Because you are taught prayer in the teaching meeting, right? So, if you are taught prayer and you don't pray, you will not pray. Do you understand? So, are you following me? So, prayer is not a practical class. So, you have the prayer meeting. We have evangelistic meeting, where we go out together to minister to your saved. We have a healing meeting. Now, the healing meeting can work in the evangelistical meeting, the evangelistic meeting, and or through the teaching meeting. We saw that in Jesus at the point he was teaching, and the Bible says, he healed them. Hallelujah. Glory to God. So we have these kind of meetings. We can have meetings that is just for healing, just to pray, just to lay hands on the sick. We have healing meetings. Glory to God. The same way too, we now have the Holy Ghost meeting. Spoke about that. We began looking at the Holy Ghost meeting. Holy Ghost meeting. And we started by looking at an example of the Holy Ghost meeting in Acts 2. Acts 2. Let's go to Acts 2 from verse 1. Acts 2. When the day of Pentecost had fully come, they were in one accord in one place. And suddenly there came a sound from heaven, like a rushing mighty wind, and it filled the whole house where they were sitting. And there appeared to them divided tongues as of fire, and sat on each of them, and they were filled with the Holy Ghost, and began to speak in other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. So, in looking at Acts 2, from verse 1 to 4, we began looking at what did Jesus teach concerning it? Right? We began looking at what Jesus taught. And we said Jesus called that experience. He said the promise of the Father upon. Right? Luke 24. Jesus who called that experience the promise of the Father upon. Luke 24, verses 49. He said, behold, I send the promise of my Father upon you, but tarry in the city of Jerusalem until you are endued with power from on high. I will say, what Jesus is talking about here is what you will do. Say, I send the promise of the Father upon you. Right? He says, now he goes ahead to explain what he means by the promise of the Father upon you. He says, tarry in the city of Jerusalem till you are endued. So, the use of that word endued is the Greek word enduo, to show what this is my action. This is what I will do. Hallelujah. Are you following me? That word endure means to put on, to wear. To wear. So I will be the one to wear it. It shows my action. It shows my activity. John, in explaining the same event that Jesus gave, he said, he came to them and said, as the Father has sent me, send I thee. Then the Bible says he breathed on them and told them what? Receive ye the Holy Ghost. Now when he said he breathed on them,
was within the 40 days, the one he taught them, right? Right? We said that he taught them for 40 days. And within that 40 days, they got saved. So the receiving of the Holy Ghost, he told them, was not salvation. No. That word receive is the Greek word lambano. It means to take of what you have. So that means they already have the Holy Ghost. Are you hearing me? They have the Holy Ghost, and it tells them, lambano the Holy Ghost, meaning take of what you have already. That's what it means. Hallelujah. That word lambano in the Greek means to take of what is available to you. And what was available to them is the Holy Ghost. So it's the same thing with what he told them in Luke chapter 24. That this will be, so the Spirit upon will be your action. Are you hearing me? Will be your action. That's what we looked at last week, right? Right? And we looked at Numbers chapter 17. The first time we had the Spirit upon, what happened? Men prophesied. Hallelujah. Men prophesied. We saw Jesus Christ. He said, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me because he had anointed me to preach. Did you see that? Hallelujah. So we concluded and we looked at some other parts in the book of Acts. Some other parts in the book of Acts, how that they prophesied when the Spirit was upon them. So we said the word the Spirit upon will imply what? Utterance in operation. That was what we said. So what Jesus was teaching them in Luke 24, verse 49. Is what that mean? That instruction was instruction concerning utterance. That means that within Luke 24, from verse 25 to 47, what he taught them within the 40 days will include utterance. So that instruction will flow from what he has taught them. Are you following me? That instruction of utterance will flow from what he has been teaching them from verse 25. They ought not to cross somebody's hand and then between us, Moses and all the prophets, they're telling us not the scripture, the things concerning himself. So within that 40 days, he taught them utterance. So that is why he gave them that instruction. Are you following me? We'll explore that more as we get into believers' convention. Amen. Amen.
Go with God.
Amen. Don't worry. You know, this is where we teach believers' convention. Right? Verse 17. This is that. Right?
So we're looking at this is that. What about now? Glory to God. Amen.
Okay. So we said utterance. So when Jesus said the promise of the Father, will be what? Now, take note of this. The promise of the Father will be what? The promise of the Father upon will be utterance. I want you to take note of this. The promise of the Father and the promise of the Father upon. Take note of those two. The defining word is the upon, because the promise of the Father is the indwelling of the Holy Ghost. So when it says the promise of the Father upon will mean the Spirit upon. Are you following me?
Glory to God. Glory to God. Amen.
So we said it's utterance. And we saw utterance to be what? Tongues, interpretation of tongues, and what? Prophecy. Right? So that means in Acts of Apostles chapter 2, what did they do when they heard and they spoke as the Spirit gave them utterance? Would that be tongues? Did they speak in tongues? Did they? Follow me now. Did they speak in tongues?
No.
Did they prophesy? Meaning, did they speak in tongues? Did they give interpretation? They did. Are you following me? They spoke in tongues and they gave interpretation. So that is why in verse 17, Peter will now say, your sons and daughters will do what? Prophesy. How do we know they prophesy? Look at verses 11 into 12 of that same Acts 2. Look at verses 11. All those guys, he said, look at what the angel says. Say, we hear them speaking in our own tongues the wonderful works of God. Meaning, at first they say these guys, they are saying nonsense. They say, yeah, who can hear my tongue? Now, they hear their tongue, but not their way. I don't want to get into those funny, unnecessary talk that people used to say. But that is, they spoke out the interpretation of the point. They spoke out the interpretation. Hallelujah. And what did they say? The wonderful works of God. Hallelujah.
Yes,
hallelujah. So yes, Peter in verse 17 will call it what? Prophecy. We'll prophesy. The sons and daughters will prophesy. Glory to God. So we said Paul will also explain the same event in 1 Corinthians 14:24. Quickly. The same event of the book of Acts. 1 Corinthians 14:24. Look, 23 rather. He says, therefore, if the whole church come together in one place and all speaks with tongues, Paul is explaining the Holy Ghost meeting. He says, the whole church come together in one place and all speak in tongues. Meaning we can all come together in one place. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. And we all speak in tongues. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Remember, in chapter 11, verse 17, he has told them we'll come together for the better. We'll come together so that we'll get better. Jonathan, that is why we'll gather. It's to the end that we'll get better. Are you following me? Then he now gets to chapter 14. He now says, if we come, meaning we can all come together and we all speak with tongues. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Look, let's go ahead. He said, and there came coming one who is uninformed and an unbeliever. We not say you're out of your mind. So, very important. You will have these two set of people. Or you have sometimes we'll have Holy Ghost meeting. We can have people who do not understand what is happening. They'll just be like, what are these guys doing? No, the reason for that is not perfect. Paul said it's either they are uninformed. Uninformed means they have not been taught. Remember, you can only worship God to the degree of your knowledge. Are you following that now? Are you seeing that? They call them uninformed. They've not been taught well. That's like, if you tell somebody, if there's some people you got to say, we're having Holy Ghost meeting, the next thing that comes to their head is going away. The next thing that comes to their head is anointing oil. You tell them, we're having Holy Ghost. Some people have been seeing that fly out. They say, they're Holy Ghost. Evening session will be Holy Ghost session. You will not be surprised. You go and invite some people. For CRC, I said, evening sessions are Holy Ghost sessions. Come prepared. Please, once you just say come prepared, explain that come prepared. Because some people will carry Goya oil. And God says, sir, it's Holy Ghost meeting. I'm not the one who will be using at home. Because that is what they know as Holy Ghost meeting. Are you hearing me? Glory to God. I was watching one Holy Ghost meeting some years back, and they call it Holy Ghost meeting. And look at how they were when the spirit gets you, they started going, they were hawking. Ah, Holy Ghost meeting. Holy Ghost meeting. I was dancing tambourine. Glory to God. Glory to God. Because that is what they were taught. Are you following me? Amen. Some people say, evening sessions are Holy Ghost session. Next question I ask is, who is the prophet? Is it prophet? Tell us that. Because they say Holy Ghost sessions are prophetic. Hallelujah. And I hear the person, I'm the prophet. That's you, prophet. Because they don't know. The man who speaks in tongues and interprets is called what? Yeah, you now see. Amen. Let's come back. Let's be done. Like, we'll have a lot of practice sessions to do today. Amen. So, verses 23, right? So the uninformed and one who is an unbeliever. So an unbeliever too is uninformed. Now you see. So you have these two set of people that will not understand what is happening in a Holy Ghost meeting. Glory to God. But he then goes to verse 24. If all prophesy, say the unbeliever or the uninformed person is, when he comes in, is convinced of all and is convicted by all. Verse 25.
And thus the secret of his heart are revealed. That is very important. Wow. From prophecy, tongues and interpretation comes what? The secret of his heart are revealed. So falling down on his knees, he will worship that. He will worship God and report that God is truly among you. Take note of these two things I want to say. What is the entrance of the tongues and prophecy? That all the praise goes to God. Hallelujah. So listen, the one who receives the prophecy is edified, and Christ is what? Glorified. Are you following me? Glory to God. No, it shows you something. Something is revealed. It shows that revelation gift flows from the utterance gift. He says something is revealed. So what is revelation gift? Word of wisdom, word of knowledge, and what? Prophecy. I asked us to listen to Pneumaticus chapter 12 yesterday. Hallelujah. Where I thought about some things as regards revelation gift, right? Hallelujah. Hallelujah. So we said a word of knowledge. I mean a word of wisdom rather. Deals with specific facts. Words of wisdom. Deals with specific facts you can relate with. It is a word of, listen, is the wisdom of God available to a believer. The word of wisdom is the wisdom of God available to a believer that produces a piece of the all-knowing wisdom of God. That produces what? A piece. It's not that it produces a piece. That's why it's called a word of knowledge. Right? It produces a piece of the all-knowing wisdom of God, revealing facts that would happen in the future. So as you speak in tongues and give interpretation, something will be revealed. Either facts about the future. You don't see. Are you following me? Glory to God. Facts will be revealed about the future. Now, take note of this. I don't want you to lose this. The facts that will be revealed will not be detailed, will not be details of events. Will not be details of, you cannot have all the details. But what you would have revealed will be what you can relate with. You understand? It's all you need to relate with. Is a piece, a fragment of the all-knowing wisdom of God, revealing facts that will happen in the future. Amen. Amen. Look at Jesus to Peter in Luke 22 at 134. He told Peter that by cockcrow, he said you have denied me twice. Right? You know he's speaking futuristic, right? He's speaking about what will happen. Glory to God. It's word of wisdom. He said, by cock crow, you deny me twice. Jesus didn't give all the details that you even cost somebody. But it did happen. It happened. Did Peter relate to it? Yes. Right? Hallelujah. Are you following me? Jesus told, in Matthew 26, Jesus concerning his betrayer, he spoke about the event. But this time, not really detailed. But we spoke about the fact that one would betray him. Matthew 6. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Look at Acts 11, verse 28 to 29. Acts 11, 28 to 29. Fact about famine that would happen to Judea was revealed. Acts 11, 28 to 29. It says, and one named Agabus stood up and showed by the Spirit that there was going to be a great famine throughout all the world, which also happened in the days of Claudius Caesar. Hallelujah. Did you see that? So concerning the famine that will happen in the world. In Acts 21, 2-4, Acts 21, 10-11, Agabus also showed how Paul would be bound. Right? He got into the house, picked up the belt of someone and the tie is in his hand and it's so sharp
Now that belt was belonging to Paul, and he didn't know it was Paul. God says, so shall the owner of this be bound in Jerusalem. Did you get that? Hallelujah.
He showed fact after would happen. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. So, take note of this. The word of wisdom speaks of event and fact in the future. Speaks of event and fact in the future.
So I can receive what God knows about the future. I can receive what God knows about the future. I said it reveals facts and events in the future.
Facts and events in the future. I can receive what God knows about the future. I can.
Glory to God.
Now, so very practical. It's not okay. I'll get to talk about it. Also discuss the word of knowledge quickly. Word of knowledge.
Word of knowledge.
Just like the word of wisdom, the word of knowledge deals with events in the past or that is happening. Event in the past, event that has happened or that is happening.
It reveals people, places, things, times, and objects.
Those of you listening to the message will not have trouble going through this again.
Hallelujah. Amen. It reveals people, place, things, time, and objects. Hallelujah. Yet the recipient is granted access into God's knowledge of things. God's knowledge of things.
We have examples. Word of wisdom deals with events in the future. Words of knowledge deals with events that are happening or that has happened. Example, look at Jesus and the woman of Samaria. Hallelujah. Over 16 to 18, Jesus revealed facts about the woman. Look at that John 4. John 4. Are you in John 4? Amen. John 4, 16. It says, Jesus said to her, go call your husband. Now Jesus, okay, let me start from verse 15. And the woman said to him, sir, give me this water. Jesus was not speaking about water. That was he said, whoever drinks of the water that I shall give him shall never thirst. Right? The woman asked, give me this water that I may not thirst, nor come here to draw. And Jesus said, go call your husband and come here. Jesus already has switched now. He gives a word of wisdom. A word of knowledge. He told the woman, go call your husband. Listen. What did the woman say?
The woman said, I have no.
Quickly, some people can just quit. They say, care. A lot of people can quit. You are given the word of knowledge. And you just say, go call your husband. Then he said, I don't have a husband. He said, oh, sorry. Maybe the bishop is sorry.
No! He doesn't know what he was asking. He needs to learn. Hallelujah. Amen. Glory to God.
I remember one time, I just want to give you, I have several examples to give about this. One I just dropped now.
I remember one time I was in a meeting, I was to give you one of them. Just something similar. And I told the person I was in the meeting, I said, you're a teacher. I'm not a teacher. If I've not been taught well, I would have said, play your own one. My job work. But no, you taught well. I just knew too well that even when I was clean for 40 things.
I used to remember in school,
We used to do competition. We used to do prophecy. We hit the ground.
He knows this. When I used to have 10 over 10, the hand to come is everyone. It's not possible.
So, thank God I was taught well. I would have just withdrawn.
Why? And I put forth. Do you understand? Just like Jesus. I put forth, and if I had quit, I would have given him the deep message I had for her.
Most of you that say you have job, you have not. Just stay at it. Stay at it. It's called words of knowledge. Are you hearing me? So what did Jesus do? Let's look at Jesus. Not my own experience. Let's look at Jesus. What did Jesus do? Jesus said, now the woman said, I have no husband. Jesus said, you have said well. I have no husband. For you have had 5 husbands. Did you see? You say you are right, you don't have husband, but you have 5. You don't get 5. Amen. And the one whom you are now with is not your husband. In that he spoke truly. And the woman said to him, sir, I perceive you are a prophet. Can you now see?
The woman ran and told everybody, this man, this guy has told me all my life.
Did you see? Imagine Jesus just said,
that prophet is not for you, for someone else.
No, it's not being missing. But you know, you need to understand words of knowledge. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. So, just like, look at what I have here. You see, with words of knowledge, you can probe with questions to get accurate fact of what, of events, just like Jesus. You can probe to get accurate fact. Do you understand? Now, when for my damn lady, I didn't go ahead. I did not put her around. No. Maybe someone else, or maybe if you have any teacher in your house. No, I didn't say that because I knew what was revealed. Right? I knew what was revealed. So I went further. I probed again. Did you work in the school? Do you see? Did you work in the school? I'm probing. Friends say yes, I did. I said, hey, person, I'm the one that this word is here. Do you understand me? Are you following me? Something was revealed. Are you a teacher? No. But do you work in the school? Can you see how people can be funny? You don't remember to just gave me out. I'm not a teacher, but I work in the school. I said, no. And I said, okay, do you work in the school? He said, yes. So, when he told me, and I said, do you have this and this and that and that and that? He said, yes. Do you know of this and this? And I said, yes. Then I gave what should be done. I probed to discover, okay, this is what was revealed. Right? So, as a man, okay, as a minister, when you speak in tongues, something is revealed. You can prove further within yourself. Do you understand? Something is revealed. You can prove further within yourself. You can get to know more fact about that thing. How? Just speak in tongues. A little more. Do you understand? A little more. So you can get more details. Hey, Aaron. Because most times, what will be first revealed might be on the surface level. So, you know, you just want to get more details. Now, you'll be able to address further. So, you just pray more in tongues. Hallelujah. Just pray a little while in tongues. Details. So that you get more details. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Now, when it comes to words of knowledge, words of knowledge work hand in hand with words of wisdom. That is to say, what is revealed is not revealed for self-aggrandizement. I mean, it's not revealed for you to feel flat. When you have did you work in school? Yes. They cool in me. Better cool in me and sit down there.
You see that, sir? You're not cool in me anywhere. Stay here.
Pass the message. Are you hearing me?
And you know, as a minister, there are some things I used to do then that I cannot do now. Are you hearing me? If I have a word of knowledge now, I cannot come and say it open. If I have it for someone here, I'll go and meet you off mic and talk to you. Hallelujah. Because most times, what is revealed is not supposed to be for public consumption. And also, it should help you as a minister. Yeah. So, because you need to, you know, I told us when you listen to that message that you can easily switch. I just switch to the flesh at that point, at that critical point. Glory to God. You see, I passed the message, but you have done it the wrong way. Amen. Amen. Are you following me? So, meaning I can go further to know details and facts. And then, the main essence is not for me to now use it to feel fly or to show I'm good. No. The main essence is to pass across a message that will edify the other brethren first. Right? So, when that is revealed, now the next thing you will now do is, to what end is this revealed for? Are you hearing me? To what end is this revealed for? To what end? Are you following me? To what end is this revealed for? Then the information will be passed. You see, in fact, even because it has to do with pneumatical, it has to do with the things of the spirit. You have to follow the leading of the spirit. In fact, sometimes things will be revealed that you should not even talk about. Something is revealed concerning someone, and you are actually doing it to the person, and you're not supposed to talk about it. You just further probe, and what you would have to even tell the person would just be the solution. The person doesn't even know why you said that, but you know something was revealed. Are you following me? So there is no hard and fast rule, but you know, the middle thing there is that you must kill self, and then the other brain must edify. Do you understand that? Are you following me? Glory to God. Glory to God. Something can be revealed now as I speak concerning this brother. And instead of me telling it to him, the spirit will have me just tell him what to do alone. Are you following me? Just tell him what to do. He doesn't need to think of what I said. Are you following me? He doesn't need to think. So that is why you must always be in tune to know what to do per time. Sometimes you just need to tell him the details to further grow and then tell him what the solution is. Are you following me? Are you following me? Glory to God. Glory to God. Amen. 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 Glory, glory. So, remember what is revealed is for edification. Don't miss that. It's for edification. So the fact that I get to know, the fact that I revealed, and not for my self-pursuit, but for edification. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Are you following me? So let's have a church of faith. Let's bind ourselves to faith. We need this practice. Let's put this to practice. When 1 Corinthians chapter 14. Was that what we were? As well, 1 Corinthians 14, verse 25. It says, and thus the secret of his heart is revealed, and falling down on his face will worship, and worship God and report that God is truly amongst you. Glory to God. Amen. So that means, if we go back to Acts of Apostles chapter 2, you will discover that they spoke in tongues, gave the interpretation, right? Something would have been revealed. But something was revealed. Hallelujah. How do we know? He said, your old men shall see visions. Hallelujah. So something was revealed. Think of that, something was revealed. Let's look at Acts of Apostles chapter 2 experience again.
Something else to see. Acts 2. Quickly, I want everybody to rush down there. We'll still look at this on Saturday again. Hallelujah. And have many more practices of it.
of revelation gifts. Hallelujah. Exactly.
Glory to God. Glory to God. Acts 2, 4 verse 1. When the day of Pentecost was fully come, they were in one accord in one place. Hallelujah. So, they were in one accord. One accord means they were in one mind. I hear you, they were in one mind. They were all doing the same thing. Not when everybody are sitting, some people are standing and going up and down. No, no, no. When everybody is sitting, they are sitting. If everybody is standing, everybody is standing. They were in one accord. If everybody is praising, everybody is praising. If all hands are up, everybody's hands is up. Can you hear me? They were in one accord in one place. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Verse 2 now says, and suddenly, when I get there, I just remember something. One old time they say, say suddenly. Say suddenly. And suddenly, there came a sound from heaven, as of the rushing mighty wind, and filled the whole house where they were sitting. And they appeared to them, divided tongues as of fire, and sat on each of them. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. So, we'll look at that word suddenly, shortly. Now, when he says, look at that, what he says in from verse 2 into verse 3. He says, and suddenly there came a sound from heaven, and as a washing mighty wind, and the filled the house where they were sitting, and they appeared to them, divided tongues as of fire. It means, apart from what was spoken, something was seen. They saw something. Hallelujah. In the Holy Ghost meeting, something is to be heard and something is going to be seen. But let me put it like this. In the Holy Ghost meeting, things are going to be heard and things are going to be seen. So things are done and things are spoken in the Holy Ghost meeting. Are you following that? So they saw something. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Things will be seen as it is spoken. So, what did they see? He said, a sound from heaven. A sound from heaven, as of a rushing mighty wind. What did they see? Appeared to them divided tongues as of fire. So, they saw, they heard sound from heaven like a rushing mighty wind. Well, it showed that they saw it. We get to see that it's something that was seen, not something that was heard alone. Hallelujah. We get to see that shortly. Hallelujah. And appear to them divided tongues as of fire. So let's start. He said, how did it come? And he says, suddenly. So that word suddenly is an eyewitness report. How do you know it's an eyewitness report? Listen, that was suddenly. How? Act 1:1. He was writing to Theophilus. Right? He wrote to Theophilus. He said, of the things, look at Acts 1 verse 1, quickly, just this, you need to follow me. Say, the former account I made, O Theophilus, of the things that Jesus began to do and to teach. Do you understand me? So he was writing to Theophilus of an eyewitness account that he is not part of. That he is not part of. Look at verses 14. Verse 14 makes us see, verses 13 to 14, you were in the upper room, right? Did I say upper room now? Okay. That was where they were staying. Glory to God. What's wrong here? Glory to God. Hallelujah. Verse 14, and they all continued with one accord in prayer, supplication, and women and Mary. So they were all together. They were all together. Right? Right? Glory to God. So, it shows that they were in one accord. So, the suddenly here will imply that what began to happen when they were together. That's suddenly just to further portray. This is what began to happen as they were together. So, you are showing you that these people were together. Right? So, it now began to tell you, okay, when they were together, this is what happened. Do you understand me? Are you following me? You know, like, to them, to the people, to the audience, I mean, to the apostles there, it was not sudden. For an eyewitness report, to write it sudden. Are you following that? That you're not going to see how it happened, and we're going to see it now. So, if there you not take the stand of an eyewitness reporter, and you say it was actually sudden.
But to you, it was not certain. Are you following
me? Amen. Amen. Glory to God. So, listen. So, I was here. To them, it was not sudden. Because Jesus has spoken to them about it. Remember, we said Jesus has spoken to them about
Holy Ghost meetings. Right? Did you see that? Did you see that in Luke? Right? The Spirit of God. Right?
Hallelujah. Jesus has spoken to them that it will be their action.
So, what will be their action will be their initiation. So, they are the ones that will initiate it. Are you following me? Who will initiate it? They are the ones that will initiate it. So, the things of the Spirit are initiated by men. By men. 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 Say the things of the Spirit
are initiated by men.
So when the Spirit gets to moving, it's when men who have the Holy Spirit get to move. Are you following me? Yeah.
Remember years back,
I attended a meeting. I said the Holy Ghost wants to remember the quiet. If you talk, you will talk. You're not quiet. You've not seen, they say it's Holy Ghost. It was quiet. Quiet.
I will begin to go.
Who?
Glory to God. Amen. Okay. Let's continue. So when you hear the sound from heaven, we're already going into the CRC message, but it will flow us into it. Sound from heaven. How did Peter explain heaven? Heaven. Look at that chapter 2. Peter will explain heaven, verse 34. He says, "For David did not ascend into the heavens, but he said, for he himself said, the Lord said to my Lord, sit at my right hand till I make your enemies your footstool." Say, David did not ascend to heaven, but he said. Now, this is David's explanation of heaven. I mean, this is Peter's explanation of heaven. He explains heaven from what David said. The Lord said to my Lord, Yahweh said to Yahweh, sit at my right hand till I make thy enemies your footstool. Hallelujah. What was he referring to?
What was he referring to? I've thought of several times. When he said, sit at my right hand. Right hand will mean what God has done amongst men. Hallelujah. So what did God do amongst men? The right hand of God will be where Christ is. And where is Christ? The indwelling. That's how Peter will explain the heaven. Heaven will mean the indwelling. Where the Holy Ghost is. Here Jesus will explain heaven the same way too. In Matthew chapter 6, he said, our Father who is in heaven. He said, hallowed be thy name. Glory to God. Our Father who is in heaven. Glory to God. Amen. Our Father who is in heaven. Glory to God. So he calls heaven where the Father stays, where the Father dwells. In John chapter 2, John chapter 14. It says, in that day you will know I am in my Father, and you in me, and I in you. He said, if you love me, you will keep my word. He said, I, my Father will love you too. I will come together and make our abode in you. So meaning, where is the Father today? The Father is in the believer. When Jesus was in the earth in the incarnation, the Father is in Christ. He said, my Father who is in me. Hallelujah. Are you following me? So he is the abode of the Father. So in the resurrection, he lives in us. So where is the heaven? The heaven will be the believer, where God dwells.
Hallelujah. Amen. We'll further look at this as we go into CRC.
But we'll look at it in CRC, the heavens. So we're going to go, we'll be discussing heaven and earth.
During CRC. Majorly
heaven and earth. So we'll look at the heavens. Hallelujah. Amen.
Amen. This will be the same. Look at Acts 3, verse 21. The same Peter, how does he explain heaven? Acts 3, 21. He says, I'll stop over 20. He says, that he may send Jesus Christ, who is preached to you before, whom heaven must receive, unto the time of restoration of all things, that which God has spoken by the mouth of his holy prophet since the world began. What did God speak in the mouth of the prophets? The indwelling. Hallelujah. I said, heaven must receive. So it refers to where Jesus is today as heaven. Where is he? Is in there. Glory to God. Are you following that? Glory to God. Hallelujah. This will be the same thing when Jesus spoke to them in Luke 24:49. He calls it from on high. That will be the on high of Jesus. The on high of Jesus will be the heaven. Are you following me? See, you be endued with power from on high. So the on high will be heaven. And the on high is in the believer. Hallelujah. Are you following that? Hallelujah. Glory to God. This implies, when it says the sound from heaven, would imply from where the Spirit dwells. Where? The believer. So the sound from heaven will be where the Spirit dwells. Where does the Spirit dwell? In the believer. Hallelujah. 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 So listen, when it says sounds from heaven, this is not tongues though. Because they still spoke in tongues. It's not tongues. They have sounds from heaven. You know, Luke is an intelligent writer. He's a student of Paul. So you see some of Paul's kind of writings in Luke's writings. Hallelujah. So you have to know Paul to know Luke. You have to understand Paul to be able to understand Luke, right? Glory to God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. So they were hearing sounds, like, sounds. And Luke writes to you to see that those sounds were coming from heaven. Where will be the heaven from there? How did you look at that closely? And now says, like a rushing mighty wind. Now when he uses the word rushing mighty wind, he makes you see that it comes with an activity. Are you following that? It comes with an activity. Rushing mighty wind. Hallelujah. It comes with an activity. So the sound will come from the activity. When he says rushing mighty wind, it's like a raging of waters. Are you hearing me? So it comes with force, it comes with an activity. So the sound will come from activity. And he also makes you see that too in Acts 4, another Holy Ghost meeting. Acts 4, verse 31. Look at that. He says, and when they had prayed, the place where they were assembled together was shaking. Just that the place was shaking. I told you it's not the smell that was shaking. When he said the place was shaking, he wants you to see that what was actually shaking was men. But for him to make you see that it was men that were shaking, he'll tell you the place was shaking. Meaning both the men and the things around were moved. Hallelujah. Maybe cheers of all check. There was activity. Rushing mighty wind. And what he did, and we heard sounds from heaven. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Are you following that? Hallelujah. So it is an activity that involves men. Men. Hallelujah. He shows it is an activity. activity of men. Glory to God. Glory to God. Quickly. He said, and they appear to them divided tongues as of fire. And they serve all each of them. The same thing again. He's explaining the same activity. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. The same activity.
I want to say this for today.
For today. Hallelujah. Okay, it says, and they appeared to them divided tongues as of fire and sat on them. Now, he tries to explain what was happening there. And he calls it, it's like fire.
You know, when that is an expression used to. Amen. That word divided tongues as of fire is an expression that is used to explain an activity of men that looks uncontrolled, that is not sequential. Are you following? That is not sequential at all. Hallelujah. Hallelujah.
Glory to God. And he makes you, and he beautifully puts, he said, he appears on them and sat on each one of them, and they were filled with the Holy Ghost and they spoke. Jonathan. Amen. So it shows an uncoordinated activity, and then it caused them to speak. I have to take note of those two. An uncoordinated activity that caused them to speak. So Jesus now shows us. Jesus gave us a clue of what that activity they had was. What it was like. Jesus gave us a clue of what that activity would be like. Hallelujah. In Luke 10 verse 17. In Luke 10 verse 17. Look at Luke 10. Verse 17. He gave them a clue. He says, and the 70 returned after he sent them for an evangelistic meeting. And they returned saying, Lord, even demons are subject to us in your name. And he said to them, I saw Satan fell like lightning from heaven. Behold, I give you authority. Now, when he said, behold, I give you, it's not futuristic. He's telling them, this is what I did. Hallelujah. Behold, he just said, behold, I gave you the authority to trap up serpent and scorpion and over all the power of the enemy, and none shall by any means hurt you. Do you understand? Now, he has told them, hey, when they went out, they had power gifts in operation. Remember, I said power gifts will be the best gift we have during our teachings, right? To be unsaved. Hallelujah. So, now when they had that power outreach, they came back with Joseph. They were jumping. Woo! Say, Master, we did. Yes, don't love it like this. Hey, demons! You don't do like this. Hey, you just check it out. Master, there's magic in your name. Oh my God. Glory to God. They were rejoicing. Jesus said, hey, verse 17. Verse 20. He said, nevertheless, do not rejoice in this, that the spirit are subject to you, but rather rejoice that your names are written in heaven. Hallelujah. Rejoice that your names are written in heaven. So Jesus, like we said during believers' conversion, we say Jesus changes what they should rejoice for. You don't rejoice for miracles. Hallelujah. He's the one who received the miracle that should rejoice for the miracle. Hallelujah. But you don't rejoice over miracles. Hallelujah. I still have that message ringing in my head like tomorrow.
If you rejoice for miracles, you are losing the name too.
Hallelujah. Glory to God. So we don't rejoice for miracles. Glory to God. You rejoice when you receive a miracle. But you don't rejoice over rejoice. You know, we'll get to see what the rejoice is. You don't rejoice when you perform a miracle. No, you don't. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Why? Because miracles point to the miracle.
Oh God. Why are we going to have time? How many things will not know? I'm talking to you. Man of God, Alpha. Teaching me this afternoon. Make a new one.
Amen. Don't worry, we have something to teach you.
Maybe we'll just look for one day.
What to cover up for the days in which cancer wants a particular victim? For the 5 months of COVID-19, you know, we're teaching us. You know, we're supposed to cover. Plenty. What should you do? Look at the
area. Amen. Amen. Let me not start doing PvP things. No, I'll tell you.
In the days of. Amen. Okay, that's your thing. Okay. So, miracles. The reason why we do miracles, the reason why we cast out demons, we heal the sick, is so that we can point to the miracle of Christ in the resurrection. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. Glory to God.
So when a man is, so when miracles are done, that man reviving from sickness back at his well is to point to the fact that Christ died and resurrected. Hallelujah. Glory to God.
Amen. So Jesus said, you don't rejoice on miracles. You don't rejoice for bad gifts. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. So, he says you rejoice because your names are written in heaven. It means you rejoice for eternal truth. Listen, when he says you rejoice that your names are written in heaven, what does that mean? You rejoice because of the doing. I want you to get something now. I want to tell you something that you will need. When he says you rejoice for the doing, meaning, hey, the reason why you rejoice is because the Holy Ghost lives in you. So that's point your attention to something. How often should you rejoice for the rest of your life? Because salvation is eternal. You rejoice for salvation truth. Hallelujah. And because salvation is eternal, the life of a believer is the life of rejoicing. Hallelujah. So there's no time to rejoice. Only rejoice when we are approaching Holy Ghost meeting, when we are approaching CRC, that's when I rejoice. Are you for it? It's the life of the believer. Hallelujah. He just rejoiced. And Jesus showed us. Look at verses 21. He said, in that hour, Jesus rejoiced in the spirit and said, mark that word, and said, hallelujah.
But he rejoiced in the spirit. He rejoiced in the spirit.
Would it be the sound from heaven like a rushing mighty wind? Did you see that? See, he rejoiced. That word rejoice. That word rejoice is the word agaleo. Agaleo. A-G-A-I-L-L-A-O. Agaleo.
It means exuberant joy.
It's from the compound word agan and haloma. Agan means much. Agan means much. Halomai means to limp. To limp. Much limping. Hallelujah. Much limping. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Much limping. Who rejoiced?
Jesus.
So when you don't have gone like this, much. Plenty.
The Lord of Lords, King of Kings, in that hour.
Much limping.
Hallelujah.
Pastor Shekhu would define it as the showing of the leg in reckless abandonment.
Hallelujah.
Uncoordinated.
Glory to God.
Hallelujah. It's from the root word agalis. Agalis is used for how a baby tries to walk. And walks as if he wants to fall. Have you seen a baby who tried to walk before and walk as if he wants to fall?
Agalis.
Hallelujah. That's on that route for. So that means what Jesus was doing was a reckless abandonment, uncoordinated. You know, when it's a dance, it's coordinated. It dances to a beat. But it's uncoordinated.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Glory to God.
Glory to God.
Amen. In Luke 24, look at what they did.
Intelligently.
Verse 51.
Intelligently. It says, and it came to pass, while he blessed them, he was parted from them and carried up to heaven. Carried up to heaven. That word carried up to heaven. Eh? Now, before now they've been taught.
When Jesus died the first time, they were afraid. Now he was carried up to heaven. Now they've been taught what heaven really means. Hallelujah. They've been taught what heaven really means. So when he says called up to heaven, carried up to heaven, it will imply Jesus will be found where? In the spirit. Right? Remember we said earlier, we said heaven will be what? Where Christ dwells. In the spirit. Right? Now, that means Jesus will be found in the spirit. And where will the spirit dwell? Will be in heaven. So, the moment Jesus was carried up, so when Luke writes that way, and makes you see that there was a heaven and he went into the heaven, the disciples understood that that would be a figure of speech to show that what? He would be found in them. Hallelujah. So he was carried up into heaven. The heaven would be in the spirit. And the spirit will be where? In the believer. So it's just a figure to point to the heart. And what happened the moment this happened? When this took place, remember this will be a fact of the gospel, that Christ will be where? Found in the spirit, in the believer. Right? And remember, Jesus said, you rejoice for salvation truth. We rejoice for the indwelling. Then look at what they did. Verse 32, and they worshipped him and returned to Jerusalem with great joy. With what? Great joy. That word, great joy, is the word megascario. Megascario. With great joy.
Wild joy. Wild joy. Wild joy.
Glory to God.
Wild joy. It didn't mean that some people will be laughing.
Laughter is included.
Wild joy. Amen. Amen. Amen.
Glory to God.
Hallelujah.
Glory to God.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
Watch out. In the Holy Ghost meeting, there are things to be seen, things to be heard. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. So,
in the Holy Ghost meeting, we receive edification via what? Utterances, right? And then we do what? We have a wild expression of joy. Wild expression of joy.
Joy.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah. There's always a place of first responder.
Don't worry, we're not
talking about first responders. Hallelujah. Why not say about our Jesus rejoice?
Glory to God.
Hallelujah. Glory to God.
Hallelujah.
That rejoice will have to do with limping. We will have to limp.
Amen.
Amen. Let's be on our feet. Let's be on our feet. Let's make a practice of this. Ooh, glory.
Oh, glory. You know?